You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Okay, all right, here we are, off on episode number 40 of the world-famous Chick Whisperer Show. It's been a long time since we did one of these shows, so I'm excited to be back behind the microphone in the saddle again for you guys. And I have a guest today that you're really going to enjoy hearing from. I promise you this is going to be something completely different. His name is Rob Brinded, and he's originally from the UK. I know a lot of you guys are listening from the United Kingdom over there in Great Britain, and now is living in lovely Barcelona, Spain. And Rob is a guy I was originally introduced to about a year and a half ago when he appeared out of nowhere on David D'Angelo's Interviews with Dating Guru series. And I have to tell you, man, when I first listened to this guy, I had no idea what he was thinking. You see, Rob is a movement expert. I mean, talk about being kind of niche-y. Rob is one of those guys whose specialty, no matter how you slice it, just comes off as something completely different than what you've ever heard before. And I listened to what he had to say, and man, I thought this guy was purely off his rocker. Then, of all things, I went to speak at a conference called Summit 2010 in Oslo, Norway, and as it turns out, Rob was one of the speakers invited along with me. And I got to know Rob, and lo and behold, he's a perfectly normal guy, and once I got to know him, what he talks about started making more and more sense to me. So ultimately, I've decided to have him on this program so that you also can be introduced to what he's got to talk about. Rob, man, all the way from España, man, welcome.
Hola. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hola. Now, you have a very, very interesting history. You not only are a guy who is a movement coach to both men and women nowadays, using that skill set and kind of honing your own personal presence for the good of your own attractiveness to members of the opposite sex, but you've actually, in a past life, and even now you're still training some players, but you've worked for a professional sports team and a rather high-level one in the English soccer club scene. And I'd love for you to talk to us a little bit about what you did for the team that you worked for and what it's like to work for a high-level pro sports team.
Oh, well, I was in charge of strength and conditioning and injury prevention for Chelsea Football Club for 6 years. So, you know, it was pretty high level. We won quite a few trophies. It's a big club. After that club, I went to train a player at Barcelona Football Club, which is recognized as the largest, you know, the biggest club in the world. So, you know, I was very fortunate to work with some great players. It was interesting. I've always been a little bit trying to find reasons why to do with my own life and to do with my athletes I was coaching. So I kind of expanded my role. I was employed to do injury prevention, and I expanded it out into screening the eyes, the teeth, the jaw, from my studies in France, you know, America, finding the best specialists all over and really looking at why some players got injured and some players didn't. It was a fantastic job there. People always see with rose-tinted spectacles, you know, I'd love to work for one of these teams. But when you're actually in the pressure cooker in there, you're working more often than not 7 days a week and having like a short time off over the summer to, you know, sort of recover. But you have to look after injured players. So, you know, you're expected to work then. And I think 6 years working at Chelsea was – it's a very tough environment. Maybe there are some sports clubs where it's a little easier, but you go in and you can have a manager, say Jose Mourinho, who's recognized as one of the greatest coaches ever. He would walk in and he would put, you know, like psychological pressure on you to get a player back. And, you know, the pressure to get players back. At Chelsea, when I was there, we literally like halved injury times across the board. We had the best injury recovery rates in Europe, the research showed. So, you know, there was the good and the bad, as with everything.
Yeah, I can imagine there's a lot of pressure there. But, I mean, as a specialist of the type that you are, I can't help but think that it was your focus on how a player moves and their locution while they're playing and your eye for being able to fine tune that with a player that helped them perform at their very best.
Yeah, sure. I feel things. I don't see it so well. So take, for example, I was assessing an England player and the medical team were in there and they were saying, what are you looking at? So I was just like, well, his right SI joint, kind of the hip joint there is stuck. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, not extremely friendly either. You know, what are you talking about? I said, no, just assess it. So I remember the guy went in, he assessed it. He just went, what? How? I don't understand what. But it's just there are some things that, you know, I pick up quicker. So, like, when I played Cluedo, the board game, when I was a kid, I would win before anyone had started because I could map patterns very, very quickly. I've always done that. So I really, with the athletes, my job was a detective to try and work out why they were getting knee pain, why they were getting back pain. Most of the guys that work in high-level sport are very scientific, and that's great. You know, they have a lot of knowledge, but when it comes to finding out why people get injured, they don't see it.
Yeah, you know, today, obviously, the title of this show is Something in the Way She Moves, and we're going to talk about how we respond to different ways women move. But we're also going to talk about some of the ways we as guys can kind of fine tune our own approach to how we move and make some really very easy changes, as you're going to describe, and do some pretty cool exercises that may make us feel silly up front, but at the end are really going to help us be that much more attractive to women. And I've done some of your exercises before, and they really do work. So I can't wait to jump into that. But first, as is our custom here on the World Famous Chick Whisperer Show, we're going to address a voicemail from one of you, and this comes from Micah in South Dakota. Take it away.
Hey, Scott. My name is Micah. I'm from South Dakota, right in the heartland. Love the Chick Whisperer, love the podcast. Got to tell you, social dynamics in general has just made my life amazing. And that's where my question comes in. I was hoping you could do something about, I guess, the responsibility that comes with all this power that we've created for ourselves. We've created an amazing world around us, but there is some responsibility that comes with that. For instance, I had to break it off with a girl, and I needed to do, after I broke up with her, I had to do a well-being check because she started sending suicidal messages. And there's a little bit of responsibility on my side for that. So once again, love the show. I hope you can talk about how you keep things in check and keep things in a healthy balance on both yourself and the people around you, the kind of women that you attract. Thank you very much. I can't wait to hear from you.
All right. Well, you know what, Rob? We call this a high-quality problem, such that Micah is experiencing. What's happened here is he's been studying, apparently, how to become a more attractive man, how to improve his social life, how to improve his social skills. And what do you know? It's worked. Now he's got women falling all over him, it looks like. And sometimes, I don't know, these women kind of start to fall a little harder for him than he's falling for them. He kind of has to put them in the just be friend zone or break up with them. And now he's finding that, man, he's got at least one woman who was so kind of wadded up over the breakup that he had to do what he called a well-being check on her. I mean, I don't know if that's something that has to do with him, you know, calling the authorities and getting her psychological help or whatever. But yeah, when you're getting messages where your exes kind of are threatening suicide, like Mike is talking about here, it can be pretty heavy duty. So, I mean, what would you tell a guy like Micah, first of all, about quote-unquote responsibility that comes with being a more attractive man?
Wow. Yeah, really, really great question. And I would say that, of course, with great power comes great responsibility. And so I think, honest, you know, the way I dealt with it, because I'd gone from being not having any women into my life to getting, you know, having the lifestyle that I'd always sort of, in quotes, dreamed of, where I had a few women on the go at the same time. But what I did find that on a kind of deep level spiritually, that if I was dishonest with any woman, that I would be suffering, and of course she would be suffering. So I decided to always be very honest right up front with a woman. I think that is crucial. I would always tell a woman that you know, I was seeing other women. And I think if you set it up from the start, you know, you have nothing to be ashamed of and that you're living a life how you want to. I think that's critical. Also, I would say that if you're feeling worried about anyone, I question my thoughts quite a lot, because sometimes you can be, you know, jumping the gun to imagining what someone else is going through. So I always, you know, come back into myself and question what I'm thinking. And I mean, if a woman is threatening suicide, then that's I don't wish that on anyone, and I would call the authorities, like I think that guy did.
Yeah, I tell you what, guys, if you ever are dealing with anyone who's threatening suicide, take it seriously and tell the person you have to take it seriously. And, you know, this can be if you're a teacher and one of your students is talking about suicide, if you're just noticing suicidal patterns in people, like they're giving away all their possessions or they're kind of saying goodbye to everybody, you got to be able to pick out those signs, those warning signs, and absolutely tell the person you're going to do something about it. I mean, show some caring. I mean, your first impulse may be, look, I broke up with this person. I never want to talk to them again. And I am going to tell you absolutely, truly, positively, it may be an absolute ploy. As a matter of fact, it probably is a ploy to get your attention again on the part of the woman who broke up with you, if this is a, you know, an ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend situation. But you still got to take it seriously, because if that person takes their own life, you'll always be left with a guilt. Whereas if you would have done everything that you possibly could, you wouldn't have that guilt. I mean, you may have a little bit of guilt, but it's not going to be like if you just blew it off like a rusty muffler, right?
And Scott, I also think, you know, your comment about people being manipulative, I've found it in my experience when guys and myself, when we work on ourselves to improve our lives, our sort of our energy, our outlook, everything rises. And if people don't like that, they will try and pull you down, or you'll start to see the differences in their behavior compared to yours. And I remember an American girl would ring me the whole time and offload just her like bitching about all her friends and being, you know, nasty and stuff. And again, there I took my, you know, the honesty thing and just said, look, I can't talk to you anymore because you don't let me speak and you're just negative the whole time. And she was really nasty. She went proper psycho. So it's important to be honest, but, you know, to let people down gently. Maybe I didn't let her down very gently, but you got to be honest.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you break up with these women because you're not feeling it for them. And then you see their true colors come out after you've broken up with them, either how needy or clingy they were, or just how nasty a person they were underneath that kind of front they were putting up for the short time you were dating them. And I've certainly seen that before. Other things you've got to look out for when you're a guy who's starting to be the one who breaks up with women, rather than being used to the vice versa scenario where women do most of the breaking up, which I think is usually typically the case for most guys and gals who are dating. I think women do most of the breaking up because guys either – well, I guess they're either liking the sex or liking the woman they picked, and once they get that routine going, they don't want to change, or else they're just – afraid of the emotional backlash from a woman if they break up with her. And a lot of times women will be a lot quicker to go ahead and break up because they're not as concerned over a guy erupting in some kind of crying fit or whatever. And we as guys, as the protectors and the providers, at least internally, innately, we want to avoid eliciting that kind of response in a woman. But, you know, either way, once you're a guy who starts being the one who is a chooser instead of a chaser, you're going to have to JBF some women. You're going to have to break up with some women, and you're going to have to deal with the fallout. And sometimes women are going to be emotional. Sometimes they are going to be hurt. Sometimes this woman, even though you've only dated a couple or three times maybe, or, you know, if it's been, God forbid, 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 years, no matter what the stage is, she could have been seeing wedding bells or having these little visions of sugar plums dancing around in her head about, you know, getting married, running off and making babies with you in the white picket fence. You just never know. And it could be everything from, huh, you know what, I'm glad we broke up because I kind of wasn't feeling it either, to suicidal thoughts, to here's another one. Oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. You know, it's amazing how often a woman will announce that she's pregnant right after you've broken up with her. I'll tell you what, if a woman's coming up with that kind of miraculous timing, I'm telling you guys, 95% of the time, she isn't really pregnant. I mean, Murphy's Law isn't that cruel. I mean, it can be cruel, but it's not usually that cruel. It's usually her being manipulative. Mm-hmm. What does this all come down to, guys? Look, beautiful women are used to dealing with these kind of scenarios all the time. if you're a beautiful woman, you're getting immediate and total approval from just a gaggle of guys all the time. Guys are wanting to go out with you, and when the first date doesn't work out so well, the woman has to deliver the harsh news that, hey, you know what, I'm just not feeling it, or she doesn't call you back or whatever. And I'm telling you guys, they get used to it. They've heard it all before. It's not necessarily a nice life for a pretty woman. After all, most women would like to find a guy and have him be perfect, have the relationship be great. It's not necessarily fun for women to cut things off either. But when you're a man who starts being able to be a selector of the kind of women you want in your life, when your social life is where Micah's is, or even better, you've got to make these hard decisions. And honesty, like you said, I tell you what, Rob, is just the best policy. Tell women exactly up front what to expect. You think they're really nice. You're looking forward to getting to know them. But exclusivity is something you take very seriously. You're seeing lots of different women, and you're only going to choose really the right woman to go into an exclusive relationship with. And if she says, well, you know what, you're going to get a 2x4 upside your head and figure out I'm the right woman, great. If she's the right woman, that's fantastic. But as soon as you realize that either she's not really on board with the whole dating multiple people thing and she's trying to lock you down and you're not ready for that, or even if she is saying, yeah, I'm all about dating multiple people, it sounds fine, but it sure seems like she's falling for you like a rock, you've got to do the right thing and break up with her. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to get really, really politically loaded responses like what Micah's talking about. But you know what, guys? You know what, Micah? It's all about you having the choices and you having to take the good with the bad socially that comes with that. With social popularity comes a lot of responsibility, like you're saying. You had to be honest. You had to do the right thing. And it's not always a great life. I'll tell you what. I tell guys this all the time. Back when I was dateless, it sucked, okay? Back when I had some women in my life, it was really great. But as I kept raising the bar and as I kept wanting to go out with higher quality women, I found myself with 3 women in my life, all of whom I could get married to. And I don't believe in polygamy, nor do I live in a culture that either condones it or even allows it. So when you have 3 women and you see a future with all of them, it's very painful to have to make that decision. And I know a lot of you guys are listening going, oh, poor baby, you had to decide between 3 incredible women. I'll tell you what, Emily was not one of those 3 women. She came and trumped them all. But still, as you guys raise the bar, I mean, somewhere out there, Mike is probably nodding his head going, you know what, I feel you, man. I know exactly what it's like. As you guys raise the bar, you're going to start figuring out that what I'm telling you is not completely ridiculous, preposterous, and off the mark. As you build your social life, you're going to have to figure out that you're going to get exactly what you ask for, and you better be careful what you wish for. I don't know if you guys have ever seen some of these crazy interviews with celebrities. Like, I've seen one, for example, with Britney Spears, where she was just crying and sobbing into the camera because, you know, poor her. She had no social life. She couldn't go anywhere without being mobbed, and it feels like she just doesn't own her life anymore. Well, 5 years ago, I would have thought that she was the most self-absorbed, crazy critter I've ever seen in my entire life, and she's got to be stark raving nuts. I mean, who wouldn't want to be A-list famous like that? But I tell you what, she's absolutely right. Her life is not hers anymore. She doesn't get to live, move, and have her being as she chooses. And even though she wanted to be famous, I'm sure she didn't bargain for a lot of what she's got going on in her life. So guys, if you're raising the bar with women, you've got to be ready for what's coming. And it does involve some responsibility. You can't just go around creating a trail of broken hearts behind you. I mean, even if you are psychopathic, for example, and don't care about other people, don't care about the hurt you're creating, man, those women can come back and make sure you hurt in return for the hurt that you've given them. So no matter where you stand on either being manipulative towards women or treating women with respect, and I certainly hope it's the latter, you've got to be honest if you want to live the kind of life you want to live and have things go well for you. Otherwise, these women that you're scorning, you know, what's the old adage? Hell hath no wrath greater than a woman scorned. Man, you're going to figure that one out with a quickness if you start busting on these chicks and kind of littering the landscape with broken hearts. That's just the way it is. Don't you think, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I was nodding my head there all through what you were saying. That was just great. Interesting what you're saying about Britney Spears as well, that when you do raise your game and you become a higher value man, you lose some connection. You gain significance. Anthony Robbins talks about the 6 human needs. Once you start gaining significance, you start losing connection because you're not like everyone else. So there is that balance that is always, you know, yin-yang balance between being connected with everyone, and then you raise your game, you become more significant, you lose that connection. And I believe what you throw out, you get back. So, you know, I always think it's best to treat people how you want them to treat you. And that's a great way to live your life, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Micah, what an excellent question. I'm always happy to hear from guys with high quality problems like that. Hey guys, it isn't always about getting you from nowhere to somewhere. Even as you get better with women, even as you get a girlfriend, you've got to keep improving your game when you're on top of it. Rob, you know, I get emails from guys who are unsubscribing from my newsletter because they got a date or they found a girlfriend. Guys, man, keep reading those newsletters. Keep studying even after you have a woman in your life, because you're only going to get better the more you know. Heck, I've been married to Emily, right, for about 4 years now. And because she and I are immersed in this whole art or science or whatever you want to call it of dating and relationships, we're better than we were 4 years ago. I mean, I'm better with women today than I was when I met Emily, when I married Emily, than I was last year. And she's better at interacting with and understanding men than she was 4 years ago. It makes our marriage even better. Mm-hmm. So you never stop learning. You never stop growing. Micah, as always, we got a really cool gift for you for being so kind as to submit your voicemail and for having it answered on this show. And Rob, you have something particularly interesting to offer Micah, and I want you to describe it really quickly.
Yeah, I have a new product that's coming out I'm really excited about. Men's hips are actually the most important part of the body when it comes to attracting a woman. Research has shown that a woman looks there first of all, and a guy looks at a woman's face first of all. So the hips are crucial. And what men don't realize is if you have any tension in the hips, if there's any tightness, old injuries, or you sit too much at the computer, you actually unconsciously sending signals to a woman. She's actually scanning you, picking up these signals and interpreting them as how sexual, how confident you are as a man. So I've deconstructed this sort of technique to release the tension by activating a shaking mechanism that animals use in the wild. It's very simple to do, and it only takes like 10 minutes to do. And afterwards, you'll get incredible results with women. They will literally start staring at your groin. I've had a lot of people email me having this experience, and I'm going to send Micah this product, and I hope he enjoys it because it was such a great question.
And you know what? There's just a stunning example right there of just how weird your stuff is, Rob. I'm not just going to lay it on the line.
Yeah.
Who in the world would ever guess that men are looking at women's faces first and women are the ones who are analyzing how guys' hips move above all else? I mean, it just sounds backwards.
Yeah, it does. They showed men and women erotic photos, and they thought that the man would look at the sexual area, sort of the genital area first, and the woman would look at the face. But it was actually reverse. And what men don't realize is that women have this pre-programmed, like, scanning ability. Women are hit on so much that they've had to develop a way of analyzing a man within the first few seconds to see whether he's worth showing any interest in. And this is based on evolutionary biology, and it goes back to, you know, the animals and what they looked for. Guys don't realize this, and they spend so much time on their clothes and what they smell like and their jewelry and, you know, pickup lines and all of that. But the moment they walk through the door, within the first 3 seconds, it's either on or off. And most of the time, it's off, because men are sending signals with their body language, their movement, and their posture that is telling a woman, okay, they've got a checklist going on in their brain that they're not even aware of. And I've interviewed hundreds of women on this, and they all agree after a little bit of, you know, explaining. They have like a tick sheet that they're looking for: protector, confidence, ease in their environment, you know, relaxation, that they're comfortable in their own skin. All of these things are picked up within a few seconds. And then, as David D'Angelo says, attraction is not a choice. So it is a bit weird, but it is hugely important for a man to realize this. This is absolutely crucial, because it's so easy to change, but no one knows this is happening. Body language, everyone talks about body language as, yeah, you've got to do this, put your thumbs in your pocket. And it's all very put on and fake for me, because I can see through that and women see through it within a second. It comes across as creepy, but dynamic body language, the second you move, it tells everything about you. I can even, you know, anyone could see this. If you look at a photo of someone walking, you can tell pretty much everything about their confidence level and, you know, how they feel about themselves. So this is a new dimension, I like to think about it, in interaction game.
Yeah, I've seen your websites where you have videos of people walking by a camera you have fixed in like a busy park with people walking by. And it's just fascinating and a bit, you know, I guess telling to hear what you have to say about every single guy who walks by. It's just absolutely amazing. Today we're talking about how guys can improve their movement and also a little bit about how we evaluate women by the way they move. And, you know, now that you've got me thinking about women's hips and everything, I don't know, man. I think when women have this certain little swagger to their hips,
yeah,
you know, I think we've all seen a woman dance and her just do like a slow little 360 turn where her hips just kind of lead the way and do that little S turn while she's turning around. And man, it just, it says a lot about that woman's sexuality, how she totally moves her hips.
Totally.
Are you saying that that's kind of not gender specific?
Yeah, Scott, you're spot on there. You know, everyone's seen the woman walk down the street and she's not all that in her face. You know, she's not very beautiful or anything, but you just go, wow, she's sexy. And all the guys turn their head. It's very, very rare that you get a woman that guys turn their heads. You know, it's all in her hips and her movement. Now, I'm going to get weird on you.
What else is new? Bring it on, man.
There's research come out of Scotland where they got a group of scientists to study women's movement and to assess whether they were vaginally orgasmic or not by the way they walked. Now, what they were looking for was stride length, how far one foot goes in front of the other. So how much extension you can get in the hip and how much rotation you get in the hip. So, you know, they were looking at two things. These guys don't understand movement too well. They're scientists. But within, I think it was an 81 or 85% accuracy, they could tell if a woman had vaginal orgasms by the way she walked through this. Now, that's weird. But what I believe is that men have always known this unconsciously, that when a woman has that little, you know, the hip moves out to the side, like catwalk models exaggerate. That's why they exaggerate to increase their sexiness. But when a woman has the free flow in her hips from that side-to-side movement, men know that she's good in bed. And a woman who's vaginally orgasmic is more likely to have their child because the contractions, you know, take in their sperm. So it's a more fertile woman. So these are all very deep evolutionary and biological instinctive processes. But, you know, all the guys that are listening, every one of you in the next week will see a woman and she'll walk down the street and you'll turn your head because it's like, I don't know what it is about her. She's not that great looking, but it's her walk. Well, a guy's exactly the same for a woman, how sexual and how comfortable you are with sexuality.
Fascinating. You know, Rob, I listen to you talk, and every time you bring up a point, I just come up with about 10 more questions for every one that you answer. I've got a few I'd love to ask you.
Cool.
What is it about women being feline and cat-like in the way they move that turns us on so much? I mean, just about the hottest Halloween costume a woman can wear is a cat suit. We all love Catwoman on Batman, and we just love women who kind of meow their way through conversations and kind of move with that feline grace and suppleness.
Yeah, you just said it in the two words, suppleness and grace, I think you said. What you're looking at there is their connective tissue is called fascia. You find it just under the skin, and it wraps around all our muscles and everything. It's quite a new discovery in physical therapy. And it's like, in fact, it's what the Chinese work on in acupuncture is the fascia. And it connects the whole body up. It's like a huge computer network. And when we experience trauma or any emotional problems, it gets stored in this. It's the energy of the trauma. There's a real energy release when you have low-level trauma or high-level trauma. So you might have had a difficult time as a child or a car accident. This gets stored in the fascia and it tightens it. So when you see a woman who is rigid and not feline and supple in her movement, It shows she has issues in her past. If she has tight hips, whether she's not supple, it shows she has issues in that area. So it's like a man's way of knowing, don't go there. And the reverse, if you reverse engineer that, is that a woman who's very feline and, you know, sexual, sensual, and she moves really well, it's because she's very comfortable in her own skin and she has no restrictions that are holding her back, both physically and mentally, because they're both the same.
Okay. I think that's a brilliant answer. It helps me understand why I just love these feline women so much.
Belly dancers.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Great. There's lots of art in belly dancing, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. Women who kind of move their hands and like spread their fingers apart, kind of fan their fingers a little bit when they're talking with their real pretty fingernails. I once knew a woman who would talk with her hands, and she had this graceful little way of punctuating what she talks about with her hands by kind of like just putting them out there and letting them fan apart just a little bit. If you've ever seen like still pictures of the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Wilma and Betty always have their hands out like that with their little fingers kind of fanned out. Why is that so sexy? What's it with women and their fingers that we find so sexy in how they move them? Because, you know, she just sits on her hands like just talking to us. That isn't nearly as sexually alluring as if, you know, she's kind of doing that thing with her hands, you know? And like you mentioned belly dancing, a lot of Eastern and Indian dancing and even like Hawaiian hula understands. I mean, they fully get what I'm talking about here, the sensuality of a woman moving her fingers like that.
Well, you know, you can relate it to men as well, but I'll talk about the women first. Is, you know, she's showing her dexterity in her fingers and how comfortable she is with them. And men are picking up on that as, wow, you know, I wonder what she'd be doing with those hands if I could get her alone.
Nice.
You know, I suppose that's one way, but you're also picking up on another thing is that she's very comfortable and open, and she's taking her space. She's taking up her space as a high value woman, and she's very comfortable. And when you use your hands a lot, it means you're in your body, and men and women who are in their body are much more sensual, likely to be sensual lovers. Whereas, you know, a very logical guy sits on his hands, to use your expression, and uses only his mouth. So he's all brain and no body. And that's a huge issue. So, you know, you can go into, if you're too left brain dominant and you're too logical, women pick up on that. And it also, logical men have very restricted bodies. So it's important to be creative and to work on your creative side, because it comes through in your hand movements. And it just shows that you're very sensual and in touch with your body. You know, I think that's what you're picking up on women. And the reverse is true. The men who use their hands a lot have, you know, turn women on. You know, use your space. Women love guys who use their space and who have very nice hands. Again, it comes up quite high. It's in the top 10 things of what women like about a man are his hands.
You know, it's amazing how much of what we're talking about here is not gender specific. It's amazing.
Totally.
But here's something I think is gender specific, and I want you to talk about women who bat their eyelashes. I once had a guy sit in front of me live coaching, and he was having a hard time getting women to go on second dates with him, right? His online dating profile, stellar, great pictures, unbelievably well written. He had just finished going out on a date with a San Antonio Spurs cheerleader, one of the dancers for the professional NBA team here.
Wow.
But couldn't get the second date with her, and he couldn't get the second date with anyone. And one of the key things I noticed when I was sitting down in front of him, we were having breakfast together the first time we met, was he batted his eyes like a woman. Like he would bat his eyelashes when he's talking, like a woman does, like before he would say something or after he said something. And I brought it up to him, and it had never occurred to him that he did it, and no one had ever told him. But I bet you that there was something to that, because batting eyelashes is just incredibly feminine.
Wow.
Why is that? Why is it a thing that women should do and men shouldn't do?
That's fascinating. What I see in that is, again, a man being submissive. It's very submissive to bat your eyelids and look up, as a woman would do. I would also say that a man holding eye contact until the woman breaks off her eye contact shows dominance, but he can't handle the sexual tension or the tension that comes from looking into someone's eyes. So it tells a woman that he can't handle the sexual tension, and they eat that up like cookies. You know, sexual tension to women is, you know, like honey to ants. And another thing that popped into my head, it was just today. It's funny, a lot of the things you're bringing up, I was thinking about today. It's funny because I was watching a YouTube video of a debate between George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton won that debate because of his eye contact with one of the questions in the audience. And there's a book, I think, that's just come out recently on how to play the eye game. And the eyes, I think Bill Clinton literally could not mesmerize, but shake someone's beliefs about them by just holding their gaze and being sincere. I think it's crucial to a man to hold eye contact with a woman. It shows everything about your character, you know, who you are, your foundation. So if the guy is sitting there batting his eyelids, you know, that's the lady's role, you know, submissive. So
now, all a woman has to do is stick out her butt and stick out her chest while she's kind of stretching. I don't know how many times I've been to the beach and kind of watch women put out their towel. Every guy is watching them as they take off their, you know, sweatpants, sweatshirt, and have a bikini underneath. And almost always when a woman's particularly sexy and she's used to being looked at and she enjoys it and she knows it, one of the last things she'll almost always do is kind of stretch and stick her chest and her butt out at the same time before she lays down on the towel. Is that simply because it emphasizes her more sexual parts to us, or is there more to that?
Again, you're quite right in that on a simple level, she's saying, check out my – these are my assets to everyone.
Pun you're, intended, right?
Yeah. But you're also – she's also showing her flexibility, her lower back curve. When a woman reaches orgasm, she curves her lower back. So all of these things are kind of – unconsciously playing themselves through her. She's not aware of it. And another thought I have is about we have a Spider-Man suit underneath our body. It's a very simple network to connect all our muscles together. It's a little bit like a computer system that helps everything to become very smooth. And we store a lot of our problems in there. And when those problems get stored in there, it's a bit like you get stuck. It should slide nice and easily, this Spider-Man suit. You know, when Spider-Man moves, he can squat down and jump and roll in this suit. That's how ours should be. And as babies, we're born with our suit, our Spider-Man suit, very supple. But through life and through sitting at a computer too much, it becomes like rigid and doesn't slide as much. So if you imagine Spider-Man not being able to move in his suit, he'd be in trouble. Well, when women extend themselves and flex and show how much curve they have, they're really showing you how good their Spider-Man suit is. And that Spider-Man suit is saying, I don't have any problems with my body. It flows nicely. I'm fertile. I'm sexy. I'm comfortable in my own skin. And that turns a man on. It really goes down to primitive impulses like that.
It seems like it really does come down to that a lot. And just by way of explanation, what you're talking about here is that connective fascia network, kind of like underneath your skin and around your muscles that you were alluding to before. That same network that like animals instinctively know how to like shake and stretch all the cobwebs from to make it more loose and subtle, and which we as humans kind of need to learn more about doing likewise, right?
Absolutely. That mechanism we've lost, because back when we were cavemen, we would either run away or fight. The third option is to lie down and play possum. You just lie down and pretend you're dead. I'm sure everyone's seen pigeons. You pick them up when they're not expecting it, and they just don't move. They're like pretend to be dead. And this is called the freeze response. So back in the day, we would do any of those to try and stay alive. And it might sound a bit crazy, but nowadays if we have a situation, say, at school or when we're a child and we're being bullied, we can run or we can fight, but we also go into the freeze, the playing dead mechanism. But we don't lie on the ground and play dead. We just sort of don't do anything. And animals, once the threat has gone away, say the bully's come over and he's gone away, that the animal would then shake it off, like literally tremble to release that mechanism, that freezing, and then would go about its business like nothing's happened. But we can't. We've lost it for some reason. Well, it's to do with our brain, but I think we're just too clever sometimes and it's backfired on us.
Yeah, I was going to say to all you guys out there, if you've ever picked up a woman literally or figuratively and she just lays there and plays dead on you, you're probably doing something wrong. That's probably not the best response you're looking for from a woman. Although the more you spoke about that,
yeah,
I can see how like guys will start opening conversations with women and they will be like deer in the headlights and they'll be like, what does this guy want? What is he doing? And it's just like I've told guys before, you kind of have to help women through that shock of a stranger breaking the ice. Since we've all been told don't talk to strangers from an early age, I think what you're talking about kind of even adds some biological depth to that whole concept. So yeah, guys, I mean, when you're talking to a woman, you know, obviously you hope she doesn't lay down and start twitching as if she were dead or just doing nothing, but you help her through that social interaction. And I think you may help her quote unquote shake it off even a little bit. Definitely. Emotionally and physically.
Yeah. She's choosing what to do. Does she bite you? Does she go away? Does she tell you to get lost? Or does she, as you say, freeze up a little bit? An interesting study they've done is that women who are hypnotized into being in a relaxed state, so women who are relaxed, find photos of men who they've been showed before and say, given them a 5 out of 10 in attractiveness. When they're in a relaxed state, they give them higher marks. So if, say, I walk up to a woman and I have my Spider-Man suit that I have under my skin, say I'm tight and my posture is not great, women mimic our body language to work out how we are feeling. This is how they are so much more emotionally sensitive than us. So if a woman's in front of me and I'm tight and nervous, she mimics my body language. So you're literally seeing your own body language in the woman as you talk to her. And if you're tight, she will become tight and that will activate her nervousness, fight or flight, and that's it. Unless you can calm yourself down, you're not going to calm the woman down and, you know, you're not going to be successful.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. One of the big four things: confidence, masculinity, being a man of character, and the fourth one, helping a woman feel safe and comfortable in your presence.
Definitely.
And it's not just fight or flight or lay there and be dead. It's maybe and hopefully help her be comfortable and engage in that conversation. Great stuff. Well, we're running out of time, Rob, but before we go, I want you to give these guys a couple exercises, quick exercises that are easy to understand, that guys can do right now to help themselves come off as a man who is moving and flowing more effectively. Now that we know that so much of this stuff is not gender specific, at least in terms of how we respond to each other sexually. Obviously, we don't want to move our hips like a woman does or bat our eyes the way she would, but we want to do the masculine equivalents of that. So teach us a couple of those. Teach us exercises that'll help us today.
Okay. These exercises and all of my work teaches you to do this without you having to think about it. If you think about it, you create tension and you come across as being creepy to a woman. So everything has to be done so your body accepts it and then it does it naturally. So you won't walk like a woman. You'll just walk like your true self. The first exercise is very simple yet very powerful. You need a tennis ball or a rolling pin or a can of beans that's full can of beans. And you're going to stand on it with one foot and you hold on to the wall for a little bit of balance in case, you know, you don't go try and balancing on the tennis ball or the can of beans. And you're just going to rub your foot with the tennis ball. I use a tennis ball. I have one in the room here with me now. And what you're doing is you're massaging the Spider-Man suit in your foot. You do both sides, say 30 seconds to a minute. And then preferably beforehand, you test how far you can bend down and touch your toes. You do the tennis ball exercise and then see how much further you can go and you touch the floor. And you will see that it will loosen off all of the back of your body. And the important thing about this exercise is if you can loosen off the back of your legs, it will loosen off your neck. And then that loosens off your whole posture and your walk. So it might seem simple, but you will have a huge carryover and it only takes 1 minute, 1 to 2 minutes. That's number one. And the second one is you find a doorway and you put your elbow to hand up against the side of the door or the wall and lean into it like a chest stretch. So you've got a 90 degree angle at your elbow, forearm and hand are up against the wall and you step forward until you feel a stretch in your chest, in the pec muscle there. And then what I want you to do is when you feel a little bit of a stretch, you're going to nod your head down and up, like you're saying yes and no, for 10 repetitions. You do that just nice and relaxed, very easy on the body. Then I want you to take your head from side to side for 10 repetitions. Very nice and gentle, and you're keeping the stretch in the chest as you're doing this. And thirdly, you're going to turn your head, rotate it, so you're looking over one shoulder and then over the other for 10 repetitions, and then let your arms drop down and see what's happened to your shoulder. It will have pulled right back, and you won't have to be thinking about it. You do the other side, and you've improved your confidence and your posture within 1 minute. And if you do that just before you go out, it will hold for the rest of the evening. And your own confidence will have changed because your body has changed, and women will pick up on it as being that of a confident man, and it will trigger attraction in them. Just those two simple exercises will do a massive amount of good.
Now, you know, you guys who are listening to this podcast have probably never heard much along the lines of what Rob has been talking about, but anybody with a brain in their head can simply listen to the part of this discussion where we were talking about how women affect us with their movement and realize that if more women moved in the way that turns us on so dramatically, well, a lot more women would turn on a lot more men. This is really important stuff. So if you take the fact that this is not gender specific and you apply that to our own attractiveness with women, you can start to see that even though what Rob talks about is never talked about by anybody else, it's intensely important. This can revolutionize how attractive we are to women without changing anything else about who we are or what we're up to. Think about that for a second. With that in mind, I'd love to invite you to check out what Rob's got going on. He's got something called the Code of the Natural Home Study Course. All these great exercises and all this cool scientific factual stuff that can help make you more attractive immediately rolled up into one unique program. I would highly recommend it. Here's the link if you want to check it out. As always, it's www.thechickwhisperer.com/Rob. We've never interviewed anybody named Rob on this show before, so Rob, man, you get the /Rob, R-O-B.
Thank you.
www.thechickwhisperer.com/Rob. The Code of the Natural Home Study Course. And Rob, you've named it that, I'm sure, because it makes you look and feel more naturally attractive on site to women to be this kind of loose, comfortable in your own skin guy who can move accordingly. So I really, really appreciate everything that you've said today, and I really thank you for coming on the show. I do want to mention a couple more things before we leave. First of all, if you want to send a voicemail like Micah did that will be potentially addressed on this show, we'll send you a cool prize if yours is selected. All you have to do is call the following number, +1 if you're outside the United States, 210-362-4400. Once again, that is +1, 210-362-4400. When you call that number, no one's going to answer it. 24/7, 365 and a third, you can always call that number. You will get a message that will invite you to leave your message in the form of a question. If you want to say something nice about the show, that's always fine. We love hearing that also, of course, because we're human. Please make your question very succinct. Make it something that's going to be potentially applicable to all the guys listening, like Micah did. And definitely tell us your name, where you're from, and what your email address is, and spell it out so we can send you that prize if your voicemail is used on this show. Second of all, if you're not already on my newsletter, here's the place to go. Go to www.themansapproach.com and fill in your email address and get my report, okay, that you're going to love from that website. It'll be absolutely free to land in your inbox, and then you'll be on my mailing list and get all that fresh content at least twice a week. It's one of the most content-based newsletters. I put my heart and soul into each one I write for you guys, and I know you'll enjoy it. And if you haven't checked out the Man's Approach program, even if you're not a pickup artist, as a matter of fact, especially if you're not a pickup artist, you're going to like how that program makes it incredibly easy for you to break the ice with women, approach them like you never have before, start conversations with them, and make plans to see them again. That's at themansapproach.com also. Lastly, Rob and I have been scheming. Rob lives in Barcelona, Spain, which is rather close by train to Pamplona, Spain, where they hold the Running of the Bulls every year. Now, Rob, I've always wanted to do the Running of the Bulls. It's on my bucket list. And I've been kicking around this idea of running with some select guys who have that sense of adventure to do what's called a bucket list boot camp. Maybe get a couple experts like yourself, since you're already there in Barcelona, and maybe a couple other guys. Get together and just basically run an entire weekend, a whole week maybe, of going to Pamplona, enjoying the party, getting the running of the bulls out of the way, checking that box, and also interacting with some women and getting better with women while we're there and while our adrenaline is pumping. What do you think of that idea?
I think that would be amazing. Imagining all the photos I've seen, it's, as you said, high adrenaline rush, and that would be, I think it's just gone on my bucket list too. I've never done it, so I think it's a great idea.
And once you've done something like that that can really boost your sense of well-being, it seems natural to go ahead and build your skills with getting better with women also while you're there. So that's something that we've been kicking around. If you guys like that idea and it possibly interests you, we're almost for sure going to be putting together that whole program for probably about 10 to 15 guys. Obviously, that's going to be something you're going to want to jump on very quickly once we offer it. But right now we're just gauging whether you would be interested in that. So if you are potentially interested in that kind of bucket list boot camp, or you have some other idea of other things we could do, maybe, you know, kind of like the zero gravity flying thing or the Richard Petty driving experience thing, it could all be rolled in. Maybe we could have a whole series of them. Write me at scott@deservewhatyouwant.com, scott@deservewhatyouwant.com, and let me know what you think of that idea and give me your ideas on it as well. So, man, that's about all the time we have today. What a great show. I mean, this has been just exceptional. Talk about your unique material to have on the podcast. Rob, all the way from Barcelona, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks so much, Scott. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
And guys, until we talk at you again real soon, hopefully, on episode number 41 of the Chick Whisperer podcast, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. Be good.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by XMY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the XMY Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.